Lesson 7. Women in Space, Part 1. In 1959, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, introduced the first 7 United States astronauts to the public. The announcement, made with great fanfare, brought instant fame to the 7. All were former test pilots and all were male. In 1978, almost 20 years later, when the newest contingent of aspiring astronauts arrived for training at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, things had changed. That group included scientists, engineers, and medical doctors. In addition, 6 of the 35 fledgling astronauts were women. At first, a condescending attitude toward women in the space program by some of the older men presented a problem. These space veterans felt that women lacked the right stuff to be astronauts. To dispel such prejudices, the women felt that they needed to perform as well or better than their male counterparts. Candidates had to be smart, tough, highly educated, and meticulous in everything they did. Physical strength, the one area where the men could outperform the women, was not an important factor. During their year of basic training, the 6 women met the challenge, proving their mettle in all situations. Training to be an astronaut was a daunting task. The astronauts studied a range of subjects, including astronomy, the weather, geology, mathematics, navigation, and the human body. They spent hundreds of hours in the classroom learning the inner workings of every part of the space shuttle. Then they received hands-on experience in a replica of the shuttle, complete in even the smallest detail. In this way, the actual space shuttle was comfortingly familiar to the astronauts, even when going aboard for the first time. Trainee astronauts spent time underwater to simulate the effects of weightlessness that they would experience in space. They also went aboard K-135 planes that flew almost vertically upward before turning back along a protracted flight path that curved toward the Earth, resulting in a sensation of weightlessness. These flights also gave other sensations, which led to the trainees dubbing this aircraft the Vomit Comet. Another important part of the program was survival training, both on land and at sea. What if the space shuttle's rocket engines and their backup systems failed while it was in orbit? Even though the chance of this happening was negligible, the astronauts had to be prepared for every possibility. Aboard the shuttle were fabric rescue balls, 30 inches in diameter, which could be inflated with oxygen. In an emergency, astronauts would crawl inside them while waiting to be transferred to a rescue vehicle. Climbing into one of these was very unpleasant, especially for anyone suffering even a mild form of claustrophobia. Finally, in the spring of 1982, one of the 6 women graduates of the space program was chosen for Space Transportation System Flight 7. She was Sally Ride, a scientist with an advanced degree in physics from Stanford University and an expert in X-ray astronomy and lasers. As soon as the announcement was made, NASA was deluged with requests for interviews with the first American woman to fly in space. Dr. Ride cheerfully submitted to endless questioning from reporters, answering even the most inane ones with patience and good humor. After the flood of publicity came a further year of intensive training geared to the requirements of the mission for which she had been chosen. Then, on June 18, 1983, along with 4 male colleagues, Dr. Sally Ride began her historic 5-day flight aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger.